first Valentine's dance in 20 years. Has to be something special.
In this town on Valentine's Day, everybody loses their heart.
Roses are red, violets are blue. One is dead, and so are you.
My Bloody Valentine.
Hi, I'm Elaine Beauty from My Bloody Valentine and The Incubus, and you're listening to The Hysteria Continues.
Okay, and welcome back. We've got a special little mini-sode for you this time. So, as they say, sometimes good things come in small packages. It's not what I found, but in this case, they do. And what we have is...
The filthiness continues.
Oh, the filthiness continues on, the hysteria continues. And you are back with us, and we've got one of our mini-sodes. And what we have, we were hoping to interview Elaine Udy from My Bloody Valentine, the 1981 classic, in time for our shows that we did, the two shows that we did earlier on the podcast. But we couldn't get her in time, but we have got her. Nathan spoke to her, so we'll be talking to her very soon. And also, just wanted to say, just pay respects to John Dunning, who was the co-producer of the original My Bloody Valentine, and also happy birthday to me, the two 1981 slasher classics, who sadly passed away this week, aged, I think, about 84, 85. And... you know, just wanted to say it's very sad. Obviously a fan of the genre. It was actually his last producing credit was for the My Bloody Valentine remake in 2009. So he's still active in the genre. And he was also the man who kept together all those bits that were cut out, which were finally put in the special edition a couple of years ago. So we tip our hats to you, John, and say thank you for the screams. Guys, I mean, what is there to be said about My Beloved Valentine, we haven't already said?
Well, I just want to say John Dunning was a real hero, especially getting all that footage in the DVD release a couple of years back.
Yes, this is true. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, if only he'd been behind Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
That really needed a producer of his,
clout.
Caring, yeah.
Yeah, caring, yeah. Mm.
And it's just amazing that he cared so much about the films, you know. I really respect that about, you know, John.
Now, which of you is going to sing Danny Boy to kind of commemorate?
I know it's kind of cool. I don't know that song.
It should be.
Oh. Is it that song, Oh, Danny Boy, Pissing the Night Away, I get knocked down, but I get up again?
No, it's not that one.
Oh, it's I'm serious.
No, the song is referenced in Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, but it's not the actual song itself.
Also, Nathan, in the book, the slasher book, Island, Richard Layman, they mentioned that when one of the characters gets killed, they all start singing Danny Boy.
I know, but I assume that that's what they were singing. You know, because I thought it was an uplifting song. You know, I get knocked down, but I get up again, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think that song was out when Richard Layman wrote that book. This is a year ago.
Well, Danny Boy's, isn't it an Irish song?
It is an Irish song, yes. I'm not going to sing it if that's where this is leading.
It is.
Go on.
Come on, Eric.
I'll sing It's a Mystery by Toya.
Let me just see.
It's a mystery.
There, I did it for you.
How about, let's play a little bit of Danny Boy. This is Andy Williams singing Danny Boy.
Andy Williams!
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are...
So it's enough of that.
Yeah, we're not trying to desecrate the memory of John Dunning. I mean, you got to have humor, or you just kind of... I guess you have to have humor to press on, if that makes
any
sense.
Yes.
Well, and humor is a way of coping, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. No disrespect to John Dunning and his memory.
Absolutely none at all. Totally respect
him. Absolutely. Completely. I'm just going to say, very sad about the passing. And also, real shame that he never got round to being able to get an uncut version of Happy Birthday to Me out.
Wasn't he wanting to do a proper sequel to My Bloody Valentine at one point?
Yeah, it was
and he
set.
Never got a chance to do that. That's no. That's sad.
So it's a shame. But sad. He was a subgenre hero, so we tip our hats to him. But also, you know, to say, you know, we continue loving My Bloody Valentine. And also, we've got an interview, or Nathan, you spoke to Aline Udi, and I can still never say her name, but do you want to talk us into that?
Yes, I was able to get in touch with LN, and you know, she was really nice to do the interview, so here is LN.
Yeah, and here we go.
Roses are red, violets are blue. One is dead, and so are you.
Hi, everybody. This is Nathan, and I'm talking with LN Udi from My Bloody Valentine and The Incubus. And thank you very much for doing this, LN.
It's my pleasure, Nathan.
I guess my first question is, going into My Bloody Valentine, how did you get involved with the movie?
Well, let's see. I was a for-free production assistant on a movie in Montreal when I was a teenager, and I was really excited about it. And I guess I got noticed because the locations manager on that movie called me up to audition for another movie called Pinball Summer. And he directed that movie first, and then he offered me a part in My Bloody Valentine. But I did have to audition. The way I had to audition was I had to scream as loud as I could. Because apparently what happens when people do horror movies is they're good at everything, but when it comes to being terrified, they kind of squeak it out. So as that's the most important part of the movie, in my case, he wanted to make sure that I had a scream in me. So that was my audition for My Bloody Valentine.
What did you think when you first read the script for it?
Oh, I was really excited about it. I was really, just really excited. I love the director, and I'd never done a horror movie, and I took it very, very seriously, and, you know, I broke down my part, and we did it in Nova Scotia, and I got to travel on a plane, and I got to travel to Los Angeles to get my body cast done, and, oh, my goodness, the whole thing was just amazing. So that's what I thought of it. From beginning to end.
Were you a fan of horror movies before you did My Bloody Valentine?
No. I was not a fan of horror movies. I'm really squeamish, and I'm easily frightened, and I'm superstitious and all of that crazy stuff, so no.
Do you have any interesting behind-the-scenes stories that happened on My Bloody Valentine?
My Bloody Valentine, no, we were a really tight group of actors, and I guess that is the interesting story is that we had so much fun on the show, and we really became great friends, and we've seen each other over the years. Maybe it was 10 years apart from having seen each other, and then it's just like old home week. It's just like high school or college or whatever. We have a great fondness for each other, and I became very dear friends with the lead actor in the movie, Lori Hallier, and she's still a dear friend of mine, but all of the characters are. I just saw Rob Stein, who was my boyfriend in the movie.
Yeah, and you did a convention with them, too, not too long ago, didn't you? A Monster Mania, I think it was called.
I did Monster Mania with them, that's true. It was probably about a year ago that I did that now. It seems like yesterday, but yeah. And that was lots of fun. Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed that one.
Oh, you missed Monster Mania?
Yeah, I went this year, but I missed last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we weren't representing up. As far as I know, we weren't represented this year, were we? Was there a My Bloody Valentine this year?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that anybody from My Bloody Valentine it was there this year, this past
year.
That
is very, very wrong.
I know.
You have to call the promoters of Monster Mania and say, hey, what's that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm like, I know I missed, but come on, cut us a break.
Yeah.
Get them back next year.
Yeah.
Did you go to the movies and see it after it came out?
I did. We all did, of course. It was really, really exciting. And I come from Canada where if you make a movie, it's in the movie theaters. I don't know how they manage that in Canada, not in the States, but, you know, even if it shows for a week or two, it's pretty exciting. And I was pretty young, and it was my second movie, and I really, really thought that this was just the way it was going to be forever. It was a very exciting time.
Was it strange to see your character get killed on the big screen?
Yes, it was really strange to see. But it was a kooky kind of a movie, you know. There was a lot of laughs in that movie and a lot of fun in that movie, so it was really kind of all around kind of fun to watch it. But
and
kooky seeing it, yeah.
I would think so, actually. You know, it's just
yeah.
When it was released, a lot of the gory footage they trimmed out completely. So, I mean, your death scene, I mean, I guess when your boyfriend finds your character dead in the shower, you don't really see anything in the edited version.
Really?
Yeah, in the edited version. Now, they've released an unedited one on DVD now, and you actually can see everything. But back when it was edited, I mean, you can barely see your character when he discovers you. So, I mean, it was,
really strange.
They just cut a lot of those scenes out, back then, I guess.
Well, back then, maybe, exactly. Yeah, things have definitely changed. What I remember about doing that final death scene was that I had to shake my legs like I was, you know, hanging. I just remember that. I remember shaking my legs like, you know.
Oh, yes.
Am I shaking them enough? Do I look dead?
Do you know who played the miner? The miner when in your death scene, was it a stuntman or a cast member?
Yeah, it was a guy named Peter Cowper. At least at the time, his name was Peter Cowper. He was a stuntman. He was also a very good actor, but in this movie, he did do all the stunts for the movie. And at Monster Mania last year, I have to say he was extremely popular. That he and Axel, the killer in the movie, Neil Affleck, were very, very popular. But it was interesting that the fans really, they wanted to get his autograph. They wanted to get close to him, too. I guess he did a lot of the action. So, you know, they wanted a piece of him for that.
I have to say that your scene in the movie is probably one of the scarier scenes in the movie, just like how, you know how your character's lying there and there's all these, like, minor outfits hanging above you and you're just waiting on something to happen. It's like an edge-of-your-seat kind of moment. So, I mean,
thank you for saying that. I put a lot of energy into it. Actually, it was kind of like that. I don't know if you know the Laurence Olivier thing where Dustin Hoffman said, stayed up all night and, you know, because he was going through this really difficult scene in the movie and Laurence Olivier just turned to him and said, you know, when he came to set looking terrible and unhappy, he said, why don't you just learn to act? Well, I was a bit of a Dustin Hoffman in that. I really worked myself into a frenzy, and, you know, I was really doing my best to really feel the terror. So I appreciate the fact that it shows on the screen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your character looks terrified. I mean, it's very, very believable.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
I was just disappointed that your character didn't make it to the mines, you know, because the bulk of the movie, the last half, takes place in that mine. So I was thinking, I wish Sylvia would have made it to the mine.
I know. The mine looked like a lot of fun to be in. So I don't have any major mine stories, just basically because I wasn't in the mine. Was never in it for very long. So
the director,
I heard a couple of. I think that there was a runaway. Now I might be starting stories here, but I think that there was a runaway carriage. There was a runaway. Something occurred in the mine.
That'd be interesting to find out what, you know, all happened down in the mines.
Yes, you'll have to talk to George Mahonk, the director, or Lori Hallier, or let's see who else was in the mine. Definitely, Lori Hallier would know about all those stories. She made it to the end of the movie.
We actually did try to contact her on Facebook, but we didn't hear back. So I guess she's really busy right now.
I'll contact her for you.
Oh, you will?
Yeah. So Facebook me when we're done to remind me, but I'll get a hold of her for you. Absolutely.
Oh, that would be amazing. I'd really appreciate that. We'd love to talk to Lori.
Oh, she'd love. I'm sure it's just an oversight. She probably doesn't get on Facebook all that much, but I'll find her for you. I'll get you guys connected.
All right, thank you. When was the last time you watched My Bloody Valentine?
Oh, now. Well, I'd be really dating myself if I told you. I think that I saw, like, pieces of... I've not sat through the movie in full for years. I'm due. You're absolutely right. I need to take a second look at that movie.
And you know they did a remake, right?
I do, and I've never seen that either. But I hear that it was substantially different. I'm not sure. Was it?
Yeah, they went a different route. And I mean, you know, the general character's names and the idea is kind of the same, but they did a completely different direction. It's nowhere near as good as the original. Original's the best.
Oh, there you go. That's what I like to hear.
Plus, yeah. I don't think they had a Sylvia character in the remake. That's, I'm like, how do you not do that?
There you go. That's probably the source of the problem right there, I would think.
Yeah. How do you feel about the film today? Are you proud of being a part of it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm thrilled that that it's one of my claim to fame. It makes me laugh, and it was really so much fun to do. I'm so grateful to, you know, to have managed to do anything in this industry is really, really great, and to have worked with the same director twice and to have been in a memorable film that kind of started at the beginning of the real sort of takeoff of the whole horror film genre, I think it's great. And, you know, horror films have really been a staple part of my career ever since then. So I've been lucky that way. Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, that's great. All right. Well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, Ellen, but I'm very appreciative. And I know my fellow hosts on the podcast, thank you very much for being willing to do these interviews today.
Oh, you're so welcome, Nathan. Thanks for asking me. I'm flattered, and it was a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Talk to you again. Bye.
Bye.
Every February 14th, Harry comes back to town, his pickaxe stained with blood, waiting in the shadows of the Henniger mine just for someone to kill should they not heed his warning.
And that was Ellen, and I really appreciate it, Ellen. You were really sweet to agree to do that interview with me.
Yeah.
So
thank you, and thank you to all the people who've spoken with us over the months. When did we start this podcast? Was it back in
January?
End of January, yeah.
End of January, yes. So almost a year now.
God, blimey. That's
it's not almost a year.
it's almost October now, so
yeah.
In 2 months it'll be a year.
Yeah.
2 or 3 months it'll be a year, so it's almost a year.
Fight.
Eric, you need to learn math.
It's
Eric is terrible at math.
It's almost three quarters of a year.
Well, it's almost a year. It's more than half a year. Did you just say you weigh 9 stone?
Yeah, I said I'm almost 9 stone. If that's the way you're working,
what's 9 stone?
I'm 4 stone.
Are you?
I'm anorexic.
Well, what's stone?
It's a weight measurement.
It's a weight measurement.
Oh,
over here.
Is it like pounds?
Yeah, it's like so many pounds in a stone.
Oh,
yeah.
So I like that phrasing actually. See, I learn. See, this is an educational podcast because I always learn stuff.
So, I just thought I'd put that on in the background. We're talking some nice background music for our listeners while we
what is that
over metric?
Susie,
is it Susie Saturday?
Sorry,
Susie Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. But yeah, no, thanks again, and. Join us next time for our Splatter University podcast. We'll be out the next one we're doing, isn't it? So
a week from this episode. It'll be out a week from this episode.
Exactly. Join us for dissecting Splatter U, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for joining us.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Are you all right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're fine. What's the matter with you?
We gotta get the hell out of here. Harry Warden is back. He's killed Sylvia and Dave up top.
Are you kidding?
Harry's dead. Harry died a long time ago.
You shut up and listen to me, goddammit.
Now, they're dead, and he's down here somewhere. If you want to get out of here alive, you do exactly as I tell you.
What are we gonna do?
This better not be your idea of a joke, TJ.
Do I look like I'm joking?